Next morning, you guys are at the house at dawn. There's the body. Yeah, they want you there to be the honor guard and such. So you guys march through the city streets all the way there to Memorial Hill. Bells are all ringing and everything. As you guys get closer, people are just watching the body go by the street. You finally like get him there and they lay him down. They actually ask you to say a few words. And when it is all over, they put the thing into the ground, their songs. And, like up on the hill, the entire block comes like, ooh. Looking all spiffy. Finally, his wife, Lady Lumina, comes for two bodyguards, and she walks to the edge of the thing, and she just looks exhausted, just draggled. And sure enough, though, you were right. The last second, she pulls out the rod of God, and she's like, hear me! And she says some, not only does she say some syllables into the air, but she's blowing it. You know she's blowing it. She has no idea what she's doing up there and such. And she's like, no, I called all the spirits of people, and she can't get it out. And finally, she says like the final thing that should be the invocation. She completely botches it. And it's like a crack. She just bottom explodes. Rod just like goes up. And we'll see where it gets to. And suddenly, you see like dark clouds coming from every direction over to where she is. Like this storm instantly coming. And right behind where the grave is, you see a swirling a patch of blackness in the air. Then it becomes this portal. And this portal gets big enough and out comes this creature, like of which you've never seen before. It's like a triple-sized horse. It's huge. But when it comes out, it doesn't touch the ground. It's like pawing across the air as it's running and such. Flaming hooves, and it's got a horn of flame coming out of its head. And as it gets there, it kind of rears up and looks around. It says, free to walk the earth once more! Universe, let's do this! It rears back on its legs and just laughs. Laughs. Its laughter is just chilling. And when it does, you see like the nearest 20 peasants to where it is, they suddenly all go stock still. And then their clothes and their flesh and their skin and all their organs just fall away. Now it's just left these standing black skeletons that are covered in crackling black energy, and they turn around and start going after the rest of the mob there and such. So if you guys are inclined to do anything about this,
well, I'm gonna say that just once, but told you so.
Sorry, y'all. It's gonna go into 19, so y'all better do something about me.
18, right. Grimling, 12.
Minor, 18.
21, Sweeney.
Grim Shoulder, I haven't noticed what's going on. 4.
You're still fuming over having to be here.
I would oppose 9. Sorry, 11.
11.
So, total, yeah.
I think Willie is busy explaining
to the fortune teller.
See, you didn't see that coming, but I did. Nobody listened to me. You're full of grammar. I see that coming. That was obvious. Even the wizard said I was right and nobody listened.
5.
Sweeney, you're up first.
Of course.
How close am I to this?
He's 60 feet away and he's like hovering over the, right over like the actual open grave in front of the blasted spot where Lady Lumina and her two bodyguards were standing just a moment ago.
In that case, I'll draw the sword and advance towards them, calling on the Black Drum Legion to come down.
Get in there! Okay, so they immediately start charging in, and they go after the skeletons. They're shoving God people out of the way and like just you know running in like the Merindians. All right, so it goes on 19.
I'm advancing so that I can close the round in a couple of rounds.
Gosh, okay. So it actually like advances to where you are. Like it comes and like stepping distance of you and such. And once again, it rears up and laughs, and its laughter is horrendous. Everybody here, make me a willpower save, DC 14.
Ooh. Oh, 13.
Oh.
14.
20.
No.
14, you're good.
No.
Okay.
No.
14 then.
14, so you're good, yeah.
11.
So anyone who did not make a 14 on that check, you feel like just chilled to your very soul by its laughter. Horrible, horrible emptiness inside. So all you guys are going to be minus one die on everything. And it's a Father Minar.
Let's call him for Banish.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Give me that roll, cousin.
Get rid of that thing, then. 16. 21, then.
21.
So do you need more?
Yeah, you can create another 10.
How many?
Five.
Five or 10? Goodness. 31?
Yeah.
Yep.
What? He has to make a will save. I'm going to tell you right now, he cannot make a will save in 31, okay? Here is what happened. You cast that. He's like, no! He's actually like physically like right back and like, I shall return. There are no barriers anymore between the living and the dead.
There you go, demon.
I guess you are not lucky enough, you buddy.
Yeah.
So when he disappears from where you are, see into that portal that was there. So you're like looking down into what must be an entirely different world down there. Like it's like you're looking down the side of a mountain from where you are. And you see at the bottom of it, there is a pyramid. Huge, huge, huge big pyramid. And carved the front face of the pyramid is Arcadio's face.
Arcadio's face carved into the pyramid.
Serene death. You can't miss it because he's got this crazy mutton chops.
Who's got the rope?
He told someone to bring rope, but that was for the bump.
So the portal remains open.
Yeah, but it's starting to shrink.
Well, look, this is the guy that... This is who we're... Save us going to an island. Let's
go.
Get in there.
Through that portal.
We haven't got time. This saves us 6 months.
We all go?
Yeah, I dream I say, I don't know why I'm doing this.
Can I grab the wife? Is she there?
She is not there. She's a black saint. You can grab a slipper.
Good, I take it.
All right, yeah, sure. You grab like the left. You sort of float right up into the sky.
Right, it's gone.
I feel like this is probably a bad idea.
Alright,
you reckon?
I had a wonderful game with Brendan Lassalle of Dungeon Crawl Classics, and I asked him my brand new traditional question in convention, which is, who should I interview next? And here I am, sitting with you. Can you introduce yourself?
Yep, my name's Bruce Cunnington. People online also know me as Mort.
What do you do, Bruce?
I'm a gamer, first and foremost. Tabletop role-playing games I've been playing on and off since the 80s. But I've had some long breaks. I don't consider although I like the old school of playing, I don't consider myself exclusive old school. I will run and play pretty much anything. Although at the moment I am head over heels in love with Dungeon Crawl Classics.
Where are you based, in the US, in the UK?
I'm in the UK, I'm in the East Midlands, so I'm about 45 minutes away from where we are for the expo. So it's a big event for me, come here every year. It started off just making a trip down for one of the 3 days and running one game and scouting around the trade hall real quick. And now I'm here for all 3 days and running this year 5 games on the books and doing a little bit of enjoying the local beers and whatnot as well.
So how long have you been coming to the UK Games Expo?
I had a couple of visits as a visitor sort of 8-9 years ago, but I started running regularly in 2014 and I've run at least one game every expo since.
So what have you run this year?
I have run 2 published DCC modules, or I will have done by the end of this afternoon. I've run 1 unpublished DCC module, which I've worked on myself. That's a zero-level funnel, which went down very, very well. Funny story about that, actually. I would normally rate that as teen or above because it has some sort of horror themes. And I'd forgotten to do that when I set the game up, and I had a family of 4 with some relatively young children who just got stuck in, and it didn't seem to make a bit of difference. I'm very much pro-diversity, and everybody is welcome at my table. But I had to sort of adjust things on the fly there, and we just had one of the best games of the expo, so that was great.
You guys all like dive through. You find yourself on the top of a very geometric mountain, almost like a child's idea of a mountain. Like there's stairways going down there and switchbacks. At the bottom of it, there's this immense pyramid, and yet sure enough, there's this face like carved into the front of it. There's a ring of torches all the way around it. As you're standing, you look up at the sky's got a weird shimmer to it, like as you move from an angle, it's almost like you're in a fishbowl. You see it, like a little bit of like a sheesh. But even as you look, there's this huge, enormous shape passes over out on the other side. It's all twilight here, everything turns black for a moment. And there's stairs going down.
Are we actually inside something tiny?
Have we been shrunk?
Have we been shrunk? And that's just like a hand passing over a window, just, kind of.
I've been working with my poker face. You're pretty sure this is all Hurley's dream.
So we are in the dark right now.
Yes, it's like twilight in here.
I got infravision.
Infravision's working great here. You see like stairs like headed down the side of the mountain and pyramid. Every once in a while, like as you look around, you see something fly about, or there's movement out here. There are creatures in the dark.
Is it warm out here?
No, it's like cold night cold.
Are there signs of life, like animals?
Every once in a while, you see some movement off in the distance. You see something like kind of moving around, but you don't hear any birds or hear any insects or anything like that.
The rock. What kind of rock is this? It did look familiar to me as a dwarf. I like stones.
Yeah, you like reached out like the rock. This is somebody, like a kid's idea of what a mountain is like. Oh, it's okay. Completely...
It's not nothing natural. This
no,
is
the, and the stairs, they're not carved so much as it's like someone like grew a mountain that had magic stairs. It's like,
so perfect.
Yeah, it's right. Too perfect. It's too weird. They're not even built, but like Tylo rode these things down.
We're in a storybook adventure.
Have we seen the horse demon?
Yes.
No, you don't see it. You don't. Although you definitely sent him back here with that banishment. He came from here, so he's probably here someplace, but you don't see him at this point.
Does anybody know what that creature was?
Everybody give me a luck check.
Got a 3.
You totally recognize that thing. You went on an adventure when you guys went along with Arcadia, the two of y'all. You guys, like, fought this evil cult. And the cult that summoned this creature from somewhere to battle you guys and such. You guys made it out by inches. People went down multiple times and such. They just call it the Shape. That's the only name for it. It's like literally a thing they summon that becomes like the wickedness that you imagine when you see it. Arcadia was, you remember him being particularly affected by it. Like that was crazy. You beat it eventually, but it was a very close thing. It was years ago, it was before Fort Phantom Hill.
So can we see in the surroundings other ends of that place being built up of memories or experiences from Arcadia?
From here, not particularly, maybe if you look around somewhere you will.
Yeah, I will keep an eye for that.
Gotcha. Well, actually, you find one pretty quickly. So you guys, start making your way down the stairs. You guys get to, a landing area, and there's, a human, a guard standing there with a halberd and such. It is his old squire. Cosimo Kensu, his old squire. And you were actually able to die. Guy took an arrow right to the face. The Black Drum Legion kind of adopted him after a raid. They rescued him from, a tribe of bugbears that lived out there and such. He kind of was raised by the Black Drum Legion to be a warrior.
He's alive here?
He's standing there, sure enough. When you get there, first he stands in a defensive stance, and then he stops it. He raises his visor and his helmet. Yeah, sure enough, there's a big old hole when his eyes should be where he took that arrow. And he's he remembers you.
Cosimo.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm well.
What are you doing here?
I am guarding this area and keeping those who come in here who would come and assault this hollow place. Now a dark and sad place in its last moments.
Wow, what's inside?
This? He's this is Arcadio's death dream.
His death dream.
Yes. So for, he said, and you've heard of this before, in your religion, there are multiple paradises that you go to depending on how good you've been and what you've done, and there are multiple hells that you go to if you've backslid and said you were going to do one thing and then do another. But the really great ones, they say, actually create a heaven or hell for themselves. The really great and the really worst ones and such. Death dream is a nomenclature that they use. And you've actually heard of this before. So it's like you're granted the paradise that you've imagined for yourself by your being a really either a really good person or the hell you imagine for yourself by being awful, you know? Yeah. And he says, yeah, until moments ago, this is a bright, happy place where we all sat and waited on her ladyship. And suddenly, night fell, and the creatures, I've seen holes opening up all over the place, and creatures escaping. Creatures that formerly would have approached you and told you who they were, how they were killed by Mighty Arcadio, and would have apologized for ever having existed. And now they roam free and they escape. I'm doing my best. I won't let any of them up the stairs. I promise this. But they disappear through these holes. And even as you speak, you see one set just show up for a minute. You just see the deli market over there. A bunch of somethings run through ah! And then it shuts back down. It's there it is again, goddammit.
That's my favorite shop.
It's the only place that does good mince pies in the whole city. It's full of goblins. Just running wild.
So, spoiler alert, but if it's based on Arcadio's memories, do you think we're going to have to fight some death dream copies of ourselves or some shit like that?
On the landscape, do we see anything else interesting other than the pyramid?
It's dark as far as you can see, although that same shimmer that you can see across the top, you can see this is a finite place. You can actually see where it ends.
Okay. So,
a mini plane.
You've talked about things leaving, but have you seen anything
around? Yourselves.
And how did we appear to you?
I saw a hole up there, and I was like, well, it's getting out of there, and someone flew through it. Then a few moments later, you all came through.
We'll tell him what happened.
Okay.
How he came to be in this place.
All right, when you do, the whole place, it shakes for a moment and such. Suddenly, the whole place takes on a much uglier view and such. The face of the pyramid alters itself, and now it's him in anguish, ah! He's how could this be? All she had to do was wait and arrive here naturally. We could have been together forever. Suddenly, his voice changes, and suddenly you start hearing Arcadum. God damn it! All she, that woman, she's so, why, that's so crazy, she's out of her mind! All she had to do was wait, we could have been together forever! He remembers her, he's saddened.
That was Arcadio's voice.
Yeah, just for a second there, you heard it coming out of the body of Kazumokatsu.
I'm asking this guy, is there a way we can help Arcadio?
I hope there's a way, I don't know what it would be, but help not Arcadio, help the world. Because there's something, I can feel it, something is failing, it's all failing.
We could kill his wife.
She's already dead.
Let's go inside.
Is she now? Okay, she died when she used the...
Yes. I've only got a slip of...
Tiny pieces.
Look, inspect this doorway. See if there's any kind of strange symbols or anything that's trap-worthy, maybe.
Give me a fine traps roll.
Fine traps. Okay, cool.
That's a door.
27.
You know for a fact that there isn't anything here, but while you're, like, checking it, there on the door plate, you see, like, somebody creeping up behind you guys. As you're doing it, and you see it's that shiny white armor. It's gotta be the Emperor of the Moon, as predicted. Cartoonishly sneaking up behind you guys.
Right. Well, I'll obviously sound the alarm and just shout behind us.
All right. I'll tell you what, we'll do to simulate that. I will roll a d16 for initiative for the bad guys. Uh-huh. So I will screw them a little bit. Not so much, because I still get it totally.
We'll get a d16.
7. Rim shoulder on 7.
21 for Oedipo.
18 for Wally Binge Strider.
22.
14.
17. Grimling.
Yeah, there's 7 of them. It's the Emperor and 6 henchmen. And Sweeney is first.
Well, Sweeney remembers what happened last time. And he is going for that groin shot. Still a little tender from 16 months ago. So.
After a big night's drinking, it still hurts.
22 and hit the crit.
Oh, and you got a crit. Yeah. Alright, so give me the damage.
13.
13. And what'd you get on the crit?
Oh, crit die. D20.
Yeah.
Only 20 on table.
Add your luck mod on a crit.
Whoa.
Oh, man.
Wow, 20.
You just one shot it.
Alright, a 20. I mean, how about blow crush a spinal cord? It's like plus 3 die, 12 damage with a strike. And the foe must make a fortitude save, DC 15 plus your level, so 18 or 19, or be permanently paralyzed.
3d12.
Yep. Here comes my fortitude 11. Save.
An 11.
Oh, wow.
27.
So hard to try to break his boxes. So he you hit him so bad that he just goes. And slowly timbers over and such. His men that are with him, like, look over. But suddenly they start going, ooh, what do we do now? He's dead. We're a bunch of idiots. Ooh, and he runs away. And you guys remember that night at the campfire when you guys were, like, you know, partying and such. One of the men who's, like, retelling the story, that's how he told them. And then this one, he kills him, right? He hits him in the face. And then he's like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? He won't survive. It's hilarious. Oh, my God, the best thing you've ever seen. The 6 of them literally run around in circles for a minute and then, like, all just take off in all directions.
Good.
So that was put paid pretty much to, and he's laying there literally paralyzed.
You see that actually Woody is just putting back his pants because he was getting ready.
The reckoning.
Oh man.
Damn. Search the Emperor.
He has that crazy armor he has on. Moon, you know, designs and everything, the big old crescent moon helmet. So you can only see as much of his face. And he has that staff with him, which is, like, still glowing.
We never seen his face, right?
Yeah, no.
I wonder what happens if we pull off the helmet, if there will be a face or if it will be, you know, blank, because nobody saw it.
Could be.
So I removed the helmet.
Yes, he said, as if you read my script already. I swear, man.
This fortune teller is crap. I should take his job.
You know, they never could get his helmet off because it was smashed to his head last time when you, like, crushed it. You remove his helmet, and it's literally like you can see, like, two eyes talking to this mouth, and nothing, like, nothing in the middle of that.
That's messed up!
Yeah.
Also, now that's out of the way.
I had a great game with Brandon, but I was a bit frustrated, but. One of the things I was curious to try with DCC, that was my first ever game of DCC, was this funnel.
Yep.
What do you think of that concept?
DCC is a great game in its own right for regular level play, because it takes the classic D&D ideas and the nostalgia, the seven, what I call the seven core classes from, I started with the old Redbox Basic, with those seven classes. And it just turns them up a little bit of a notch, makes each class very, very individual. But if you start at level zero, you get a taste for the slightly gonzo fun and the new luck mechanics, but you actually start with a bunch of characters at level zero. So it's an interesting introduction. There is a high character mortality, and it's a fun way to build backstory when you level up. So makes for a good one-off convention game or a good start to a campaign. The funnels are great fun.
How did this funnel went with those kids then?
Oh, it was terrific.
How old were they?
We had one, I'm guessing around 9 or 10 was the youngest. Mum and dad and the brother, I think, was maybe, maybe 12, 13, something like that. And then two other adults who joined us. We used Goodman Games' new scratch-off character sheets, which is good fun. And you can use them in a couple of ways. You can do an emergent-style story game where people's stats are revealed one at a time. But I just threw the character sheets out and said, get scratching while I tell you how to play the game. So it just added a little bit of fun to it. And we had reasonably high character death, but they saved the day at the end with a blinding bit of sorcery. It was all good fun.
So what did they do? What was the
situation? So the plot is, it's called The Lady of the Dane Hills, which is based on some English folklore, a character called Black Annis, who does kind of appear in D&D to a degree, in terms of the old Annis Hag in Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. But she's a creature of folklore in Leicestershire, which is the area I live. Basically, your typical blue-skinned, foul, child-stealing hag. And she is a main character in the story, and she may or may not be the big bad. I don't want to give too much away, because I'm hoping to publish it in the not-too-distant future.
Okay, so you open the door. A couple of things you quickly see. One is the interior space of the pyramid does not conform to the exterior space. The wall goes straight up here, and there's nowhere outside, so the pyramid goes this way. So it's like, oh, that's weird. You're looking into a long hall, 300 feet long, maybe 100 feet wide. There's a path down the middle. The path is through what looks to be thousands and thousands and thousands of dying men, animals, horses, and monsters. Just laying all over the place, just staggering, bleeding, holding their hands up and whatnot. And then the very middle, with his back to you, is a giant. Okay?
Oh my goodness.
It's like 20 feet tall, and it's wandering through and just like stabbing guys. And you guys, you remember specifically, you guys fought like during one particularly bloody campaign, it was so bad you guys set up a field hospital, you know, where people were like getting worked on and such. While the rest of you guys went and scouted out the formation of where this mixed force of humanoids and giants was. When he came back, a cyclops had wandered into camp and was just like casually walking, killing these things. It was very disturbing to Arcadia. You know, it really messed with him, you know what I'm saying? And now you see it down there just like walking through from behind, just iron spear, just jabbing them and just casually killing these people who were already bleeding out and dying.
Killing figments.
A figment killing figments.
I know.
And the path, where does it appear to go to?
Really, all you can see is this giant there in the middle. He kind of takes the whole space. Actually, I'll give you a real high perception check.
14 and... Yeah, 14.
Yeah, you can't tell. You
know. How far away is he at the moment?
About 150 feet.
Okay, it's quite a long way. What do you want to do?
We want to get into the middle of his psyche.
Is the Cyclops blocking the way, or is he just wandering the field?
I mean, you could stray off the path and wander through like a field of dead guys and like, you know, make your way around them. But who knows how eventually he'll see you. Unless something extraordinary happens, he'll spot you at some point.
Oh, wait a moment. How did you defeat that big dude in the first place?
The old-fashioned way. They all ganged up on it. You killed another guy in the fight. It just like skewered one guy straight through and like washed him off.
I mean, can we try to invoke some good memories of Arcadio? I mean, I don't know, brothers in arms or even just good stuff. I mean,
like that time he smashed the guy to death with the mug.
Why did he smash that guy with the mug?
Yeah, it's a good idea. He must have lots of drinking sessions and fine feasts.
Hey, it's just bad memories so far. It's a bit annoying. But maybe, I don't know, maybe we can invoke allies or stuff.
How do you do it? What are you going to do?
But what about the big dude on top? He could help.
The Emperor of the Moon the first time. We retold those stories over the fire afterwards. Wasn't that a glorious day?
sang songs, we held hands.
How's that?
You had had quite a lot to
say.
Don't tell me.
You swept.
By the time everybody's starting touching me.
This is not the real kid, so make a luck roll since you're the, you know, the last bit of their session.
Under, that's not
good. Yeah. So, it seems the mood is still pretty dour at this point. But you did feel like maybe the mildest of a tremor is like through the reality that you're standing in right now, like the littlest thing happened.
I could use a spell to make conjure up food. Yeah. I wonder if I can imagine what his favorite food was.
I'm going to shoot this guy with a crossbow.
Sure. You can totally do that. I can't.
I'm going to call its name out. Oi! Big eye.
It turns around. Yeah, sure enough.
And shoot it in the eye.
Okay, give me that deed die roll.
Ooh, 12, 15.
So
I burned 3 luck, 18.
Boom, that hits him. Roll me damage and then add down plus 6.
Roll damage, okay. It says 6.
Plus 6, so 12.
You guys are like figuring things out, but people go through this whole thing and don't get any of this stuff.
What's next? I've played DCC, but we were halfling before. So I haven't used deed die.
As far as like just figuring out things in the dungeon, you guys are. He's made 3 completely 100% predictions so far that were dead on. I'm like, and you too? And I'm like, yeah, man.
I think my character's gonna reconvert and take the fortune teller's job. Out of spite.
He pays a lot of
CV.
You know what? That fortune teller doesn't go on any adventures. It's safer and pays a lot.
No, it's a British crowd, not the US crowd, so we figure things a bit more.
All right. Let me tell you something there, pal.
How much leverage?
That's the USA you're talking about. All right, so give me a damage. How much damage total did you get in the
12
points of damage?
To the eye.
And and you got a 6 on your D die is pretty gross. So I'm going to say he is temporarily blinded, possibly permanently blind, and
he's at least ripping his
eye. Oh yeah, you hit him dead center of mass in that eyeball. And he shrieks and starts staggering this way and that, like through like the crowd and such. He can't see you. You guys can walk
past him. What was Arcadia's favorite food?
He loved tea. He loved tea. He drank. We drank hot tea all day, and what he really loved was pastries.
Right.
He was like his favorite thing. He'd come home and get donuts and all
I'd
that.
I'd use my Food of the Gods spell to make as much best tea I can imagine in Spain pastries.
Oh, give me a roll. So 17.
17.
Yeah, so I'm sorry, 18. Yeah, sure. You make enough tea and like cakes for everybody and such. Actually, you feel like this room shrinks a little bit. Like it was like 300 people before, but it like actually seems to shrink and like some of the people just disappear like off the edges and such.
Well, I say that, so I dedicate this feast to Arcadia.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. And like I said, the place shrinks up, so now it's only like a 200-foot walk, and the door looks a lot less intimidating than it did about a moment.
Okay, I now remember something you really like to do, and
just let it.
I didn't like it, but I'm gonna make an effort for you. So you really like to ruffle my hair. He did that.
I'll tell you what.
We're going to pick the halfling up and drag him down the path with his by his feet and
the
wall.
Yeah. All right, so...
Can I just disguise myself and appear as Arcadia? Like, so I'm going to kind of mold my my appearance to actually appear.
You can grab some stuff off the dead people. And when you go up to them, what do you do? They just keep repeating. I'm like, the one guy's like, Arcadia, I will have our event. Another guy's got like a similar breastplate like he used to wear. It's like, no, I think I'm fine. I think I'm fine. They just keep the same thing they said. Their last words, they repeat over and over and over again as you're wandering up from the fish. But yeah, give me a disguise check. You pick up some stuff out of there and you...
Okay, I took some luck onto that, I think. I'll put 2 onto that, 15.
So yeah, you're able to put together a pretty good, a pretty good throw together approximation that you put together. Everyone definitely knows who you're aping. The facial hair is a bit of a bitch because he's got while this is all happening and the Cyclops is like struggling through, you guys are all just manhandling the halfling and putting the rope on stuff. And pretty soon, like the whole place, it shrinks and like as the wall goes past, the Cyclops is like, and then the wall just like envelops him and he's just gone. And pretty soon this room is just like, 30 by 30, everyone that you see that are dead left here are people that were really important to him. favorite lieutenants and friends, a couple of the real big enemies, you know what I mean? They bricked through and such. There's the doors. Like, it was 300 feet away. Now it's less than 30 feet away.
Be singing those happy drinking songs of victory as we march towards the door.
So, you played games as well this
weekend? Yes, I got to play with Brendan, which is great. As you say, he's come all the way over to, from the States. We're really, really grateful. Us DCC nerds have finally persuaded Goodland Games to send somebody over to borrow him and run some games for us. So I've played a couple of games with Brendan, one the night before the Expo officially, played some X-Crawl, and X-Crawl is another one of, well, that's Brendan's own baby, so that it was nice to play that game for the first time with the guy who wrote it. It was a lot of fun. But yeah, everything else has been pretty much off the books because I've been so busy running.
Could you explain what is an X-Crawl to people who would not be familiar with it?
Okay, so X-Crawl is a modern game where the old fantasy world was reality, and it's set in a modern setting with nostalgia for those medieval fantasy-style times. So there are monsters and dragons and dwarves and elves, and they indulge in a televised fantasy dungeon.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, you know, Running Man, the movie Running Man?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So it's a sport, and you play, instead of a team of adventurers, a sports team of adventurers, and you have to get sponsorship, you have to grandstand and please the crowd, and you get boons and bonuses for dancing around.
For the younger audience, I really like Running Man.
Yeah.
I think it would be something a bit like The Hunger Games also.
The Hunger Games? The TV show Gladiators, maybe? You know,
the big bumper,
poodle sticks, and that kind of vibe, and Brendan being American and very flamboyant is even if he hadn't written it, he would be the best judge because he's a very physical, outlandish kind of guy. He's perfect for it, and it's a fun game. I haven't run it yet, but I'm not sure I could keep up with his style. But I would definitely like to give that a go, maybe next year.
Door is there. What do we do?
Yeah, I will give it a search, though, since
sure.
We're in a strange place. Is it a hand door? Is it a walk out?
It's like...
Do you remember this door from somewhere?
You know what? It's kind of generic. Like a door you would find in a dungeon.
Find traps. That's a 18.
Checking all the way around if you don't see anything. When you open up, it is a 30 foot by 30 foot room. Black towel, white towel, all the way through checkerboard. Walls, ceiling, floor, opposite walls. The 30 feet away is another door. The black tiles, there's magical symbols all throughout here. Black tiles have a white symbol on them, and the white tiles have a black symbol on them. Mm-hmm. And like that's how like the entire room looks like that, all the way across.
What's the symbol?
Give me some weird magic.
Come on.
It's foggy.
That is a 9. You need at least a 12 to pull this one off.
Can I spell burns?
But that thing says out loud, is this one of those things when you're supposed to spell the name of its god, but there's been a different spelling?
Can you remember what you were thinking?
That's Tommy.
Yeah.
You got any luck?
That's such stupid superstition.
How much you need?
3.
Okay, 3 you got.
3 I'll get you, yeah. So yeah, sure enough, I feel bad about this kind of thing. Like, you're clearly able to read it just for like one round. It's the same symbol every time repeated, and it's literally the magic symbol for magic symbol, like on the front of the textbook, like everywhere, all the way across the touch.
Magic symbol for magic symbol.
Because he wouldn't, it's like generic, isn't it? He wouldn't necessarily know magic as such. It's just representative of.
Yeah.
In his head, that's representative of.
Yes.
It's an emoji for wizards.
That's what it might look like if you see a magic symbol.
Was he into chess or checkers or the equivalent in this world at all?
Not that you recall, but you don't know why. Like, he thinks this would be like what a magic room would look like or whatever.
I guess it's going to act, therefore, in a way that he would interpret a magic room might act, which might not be what we're expecting. So
how many checkers across is it?
So they're a foot each, so a third.
Oh, wow, okay.
It's like 30 feet, and then there's another door. It looks like the mirror of this one, like almost the exact same.
Is it 30 by 30?
I'll get a coin out of my pocket.
All right. You throw a coin there, and for a moment, it's like a burst of like, like stage magic, like, you know, presto, a little bit of colored smoke pops up from where it was.
Pretty.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Oh, that's nice, yeah.
Did it just disintegrate?
No, coin. So they're halfway through there.
Chuck something onto a white square.
Let's yeah, do right. I wondered just where the white would represent it.
Yeah.
You know, just good.
It's similar, but like, this time it's streamers.
I'm going to step on the one white square.
All right, you step on. You're a warrior?
Yes.
So as you do, there is a bolt of lightning comes at you. Give me a saving throw. Give me a DC 16 reflex save.
Nope, that's a 5.
You step in there, and yeah, sure enough, it's just like, you know, floor to ground, like bolt of lightning comes up. And wow! I'm sorry, man. It takes 17 points of damage.
Wow!
And this thing just... You know, for a moment, you guys all see his skeleton like. You fall inside across a whole bunch of them, and nothing else happens.
Exactly right. I wouldn't recommend the white. You try the black.
Right, so I'm going to try and stand on one of the black men.
Do the elf?
Yeah, oh no.
You step through.
You just die instantly.
Too worrying.
And like, actually, you hear this like voice in your head, Elvish, and you said, like all elves, you were part of the terrible magical conspiracy. You will betray your friends and power shall be yours. Betray them. You know you want to.
Did I really hear that?
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. Nothing happens to him, but his ear kind of cocks up. And you hear this like, voice. And it's like, imagine me doing a full French accent. It's like full Elvish.
You know you want to betray them. Go ahead, betray.
It's like that kind of crappy, you know.
Hello, hello.
I look relieved. Like,
Run for the other door.
All right, you run for the other door.
Oh, I'm going to grab the halfling for luck.
No.
So here's what happens.
I dodge.
Well, follow me.
He tries to dodge. Give me like a grab roll with your deep dive.
Cool.
4. And what about you? Make a hit roll.
1.
Yeah, man, halfling's out of there. He's like, oh, no, he's had another shot.
Yeah.
He's got him out of there. He does not grab.
Okay, you know what? This idiot was talking about luck all the time. I'm pretty sure if I just step on this thing, I'm going to be quotation mark lucky and nothing's going to happen to me.
So I just step on the thing.
You step in there inside.
Come at me, idiot.
Out of one of the black tiles, like a black boot rises up.
What the hell is that?
It starts kicking you in the ass. And like, it keeps doing that until it shoves you out of the room, like, unerringly, just kicks you in the butt until like you take 2 points of damage and are like forced out to the edge there. And then it
kicked in the butt.
Then it lands back in a black tile and just like sinks back.
You're stood on it right now, yeah?
I don't know, I'm running across the room.
Oh, you run across the room, and so you actually do this.
Yeah, cool.
DC 16.
3.
Damn. So, I mean, you run, but it zaps the mess out of you, but, you know. Yeah, you take 13 points of damage, another high damage roll.
I'm going to keep going.
But then you get over that far door, you shove it open. Right?
Brilliant.
You open that door, but like pile in there and stuff.
Oh, look, guys, it's easy.
Any other experience you'd like to talk about, the expo?
I love the expo trade show. I took the morning off to nurse my hangover and have a leisurely stroll around all the stalls. Of course, all the big players are here. I'm not a GW fan, but it's nice to see Games Workshop are here with quite a big presence. I think that's quite new for them. But I like to go around the little stalls. If I can give a shout out to people like Square Hex, who sell a lot of the OSR stuff here. My buddy Billion Babbles got his stand here for the first time. He sells a lot of mapping and dungeon tiles and his playing cards. So I like to, if I don't try and pick some stuff up, or at least go around and see some of these people. And it's also like nice to see right the other end of the spectrum how shiny and professional and polished things are getting here. John and everybody else at the expo have done a great job of putting this on. And hey, Brendan. I actually got a glimpse behind the scenes with the Beasts of War guys who are doing some of the streaming and some of the coverage, and it's a very, very slick operation.
Yeah, you got pretty much live TV going on online. It's quite an operation going on here.
Sure is, yeah.
Yeah, on the far side of this room, here is what you see. There is a vault door, and it has the apotheosis of lock trap combinations on there and such. It's got these ridiculous mechanisms like all around the outside. Like, you might be the old mousetrap game, you know what I mean? It's just like that and such. Part of it, you see that there are 6 half steel, half flesh figures, all of whom are like the radiuses of a clock, all pointing with their hands towards the lock. They're just faceless, their faces are all metal. in and out of the walls. Like, parts of them are steel, or parts of them are, like, literally flesh. They're all there trying to, like, get at with their hands, like, close to the lock. And that is what you see.
Do we remember any incident like this from
anywhere? No. They never. Like, nothing, you know?
So all good was Arcadio with traps, because it's just Arcadio's idea of a trap, so it might not be as smart as it looks.
Mm-hmm. So, are you guys going to join me over here?
I'm there.
You walk across, nothing happens.
Hmm. No, my theory is that everything we're seeing here is a projection of our friend's mind. To defeat this, what we need to do is work out what he likes and dislikes and what his fears were. What he would perceive a magical area to be the one, worked out how to defeat it. But to do that, we need to think about what he would perceive.
You know, he would come and send a runner to your house in the middle of the night. You might be on a horseback for 100 miles. Like, literally, you'd be like, oh, finally, pick this goddamn lock. Mm-hmm. And, like, you would get down, he'd be like, oh, great, throw you like a sack of money. All right, see him. Like, he had no disdain for that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But you know that he has a secret vault down there, and, like, he wouldn't put a trap on it. He, like, guards, you know what I'm saying? He's the kind of guy that, if he has something to guard, he hires him. Black drum guys to,
So this looks like some kind of arcane, it looks like a lock, central lock mechanism.
Yeah, but again, it's like a child's idea. It's like, you know, all these loopy things and bits you gotta turn and knob and, you know, puzzle parts you gotta move across, and then all round by these hands, like bum, 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 bum. So six bodies, all of them were reaching for that lock. Half metal and half flesh.
So the mechanics of this, can I sort of spend some time studying it and try and... we're looking at, so 16 plus. So just intelligence.
You got 16?
Yeah.
Here's what you see. As you're watching, those hands and everything just get a little bit closer to the interior of that box. From the outside. The area where all the busyness is like this. You just see all of those. It's almost like some of them become a little more flesh and a little less steel, and some of them become a little more steel, a little more flesh as they sort of like move in. Just. If you weren't observing, you would not have seen it, you know?
So I guess the question is, do we want the hands to get into the center and do whatever they're intended to do, or do we want to stop?
What is in the center?
In the center is a bunch of like little puzzles and locks and things that he has to move and such. All of this weird mechanisms that are like sort of put together to be this weird, strange lock in the center.
I think we need to open, don't we?
So do we think, it's a figment of his imagination almost, is this almost, are the hands almost sort of representing some kind of drama for having to pick a lock within a certain amount of time? It's almost like a childlike situation rather than actually any impending peril. Is it for effect more so? I'm searching for traps. Center.
All right.
Okay, all right. Oh, that's lucky. 10 and 7, 17.
Yeah, it's all like it's definitely a trap. You're not sure what will trigger it, but it's just that you've got to...
How far across the boat with it?
You fire a crumble, then psh, just bangs off there. Breaks.
Oh, okay.
Should we try it?
Can I touch one of the figures?
Sure.
Just like one of the nearest. Just put my hand on it.
You run over there and touch a figure. Very quickly, the figure reaches around and grabs you. And is going to try, I'm going to need you to make me a saving throw. Got anything for that?
11.
Yeah.
That's a big burn.
Okay. So here's what happens, y'all. So it actually grabs up the elf and pulls it, and he's like trying to fight against it. He puts a foot up on it, the thing grabs it, another one comes and grabs the foot. He gets dragged into it and becomes a part of it. Like, suddenly he takes his place. Now he's the seventh figure up there by the end.
Never mind. I'm sure we remember which one we
said. Just try again, I'm sure it'll work. Second time round.
Do you recognize any of the six figures that around us?
Give me a regular D20 check.
7.
You know what you do recognize? Like, every one of them has, like, leather armor and separated toe boots. Every one of them was kind of thieving you.
Did he sometimes broke doors, like, bashing them and stuff like that? You know, using brute force rather than thievery and luck.
Right, yeah. So,
that's a good
point. I mean, he's not above it. You know what I'm saying? You definitely seen him smash his chance doors before. I mean, this sounds pretty gross.
But then again, typically, he's... Like, the story is, he's called Oedipo to resolve some of his trap and pit locks and stuff. So, in his mind, that would be a solution to this, potentially. So, it could be that it's almost like a... In his mind?
Interesting.
Is it... Yeah.
Or is it just for a warrior to go up and try to handle?
Yeah.
get my weapon out and stand guard next to the door as if I'm guarding it.
Okay. You guys, like, stand there, like, for, like, a while. Eventually, one of those figures, one of the other ones, like, peels itself off the wall. And he's like, and, like, you totally recognize it from the guild. Like, one of the guys that like, he's beat the tar out of one day. He's like, all right, that's the end of your shift. You guys can just go ahead and take a break. And like, he's like, you guys take five. I'll be here for a while.
That's great.
Crap. Oh, God. Oh. He just pops his back all the way up. God, my shoulders. This is... Luke's not supposed to live like this.
Ooh. Can you help him out?
Oh.
He needs to come with us.
It's going to take magic or something. I don't know.
McCartney.
I can try. I'll get a shot. The elf like, yup. He's back in the door. With the rest of them. Except now he's facing the wrong way like, no!
Are you out now?
No. We're all
that,
that door is
the thief is back in the door.
But the door opened up into the other room over there.
So then the door actually opened up.
Yeah, but like a not the vault door, but like a side door, you know?
Right, we better
leave
him. I'm expendable. Goodbye.
Well, I'll just have a quick nip down and have a look what's through this door.
Alright. You're looking into like this huge treasure vault with like chests and shelves and everything, but it's
do not touch anything.
But it's completely empty. Except, you see one shadowy figure that's sitting there towards the back. You're standing by the door.
I'm gonna go in. Grim. Gremlin will be back. Funny face. We might be back.
So what was that thing about a shift? Is this a cycle or what? I didn't get
that. So it sounds like we're in the center here. So step through the door. Arcadian needs my help.
So you step inside. There are like open chests that are completely empty. There's shelves and racks are empty. Weapon racks along the walls and such. And picture frames that are empty and cut away. There's a one like kind of figure like look like a shroud draped over it. And it's definitely looks like Lady Luna.
That's a good job I have a slipper.
What's she doing?
Sitting there looking down.
With a cold foot, I imagine.
My lady.
She like kind of looks up and she's like, "Ah, you are a friend.
How can we help?
You know, we've been separated unnaturally. I'm only a memory of the true Lady Lumina. You must go to the death dream of Lady Lumina, and she must be rescued."
Oppido is still dressed up like her.
Yeah, I'm still with my. So I sort of step into the room and say, all is not lost.
do you give him the thumbs up to go in?
Yeah.
So for a moment, it's like, you know, the voice changes for a second, like, you f***.
So it's Lady Lumina we have to rescue from her death dream.
Yes.
Do we have to rescue Arcadio from his death dream?
No. The only thing he needs is the real Lady Lumina, not the shade, his sad, poor memory.
How do we get to Lady Lumina's death dream?
I can point you the way.
Mm-hmm.
She arises and she kind of like walks out from under her shroud, emerges from it. She walks back to that black and white room and such, and when she steps in there, all the black parts turn white and the white parts all turn black like suddenly. And she just walks across the room like nothing's happening.
My lady, two of our party are stuck. Can you release them?
Ooh, give me a check.
No.
It kind of like leads everybody out and across like room with all like the dying people there and such, and like they all fall silent as she walks past. When she walks out to the front doors, like suddenly everything he ever killed is out there waiting for you guys, including the Emperor of the Moon, all his army, every dragon, monster, the thing with the horn is out there again. But when she steps out, it kind of like creates a bubble. Like they can't get any closer to her than this and such. And she kind of like beckons for all of you to follow her. She kind of like takes a right out of there and walks all the way up that shiny edge that I pointed out before. Walks all the way to the edge of, you know, what where it is, kind of puts her hand on it, and she's like, there. There in the void outside of this, there in the void is a light. You can see the light from here, but you can't make out any pictures of what it looks like.
How do we get through that?
If I knew, I would do it.
Is that the only point we can go through, or are there other points similar to that?
She said that point is where Lady Luma's death dream.
Right. Like a star in the sky.
Like a star in the sky.
Can we shine some kind of light towards it? See whether we can attract it somehow. because it might be lost, or whatever it is, wherever it is. So try and kind of attract ourselves to it.
Attracted to us.
Yeah. We obviously it's in the distance, but it may be like, you know, it's lost and out there somewhere. But
we were trying to cheer this place up for Arcadia, weren't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do we need to do something similar to draw Lumina in and make her more open and welcoming to us?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I have your shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you pull that out, and you're like, look at this. And like, it actually gets a little brighter as if it's gotten a little bit closer.
Oh.
Okay, okay.
Start talking about what I remember about her children.
That's really good. Okay, so again, it's getting closer in touch. What else are you guys going to talk about?
I'm going to disguise myself as Lumina now, and I'm going to start talking in a voice and kind of talking about how nice the house is and
kind of stuff. Gotcha. You know, I mean, it seems to, you know, it slightly works, you know what I mean? And like, you know...
Oh, come on now, I have to do it again. She liked it from my hairs. Why do people... Why is the fortune teller spreading those stupid superstition about ruffling my hair, bringing luck to everyone? I hate it.
But I get closer to you so you can ruffle my hair.
And yeah, sure enough, all of these things put together, it brings it closer and closer and closer until finally, as it gets closer, hers looks more like a bright, shiny fairground with people like dancing and whatnot. And pretty soon, they actually get there and they touch. And just for a moment, you guys are able to step through and into the other death room and such. This one is totally different. It's warm in here, and there's music and laughing and like smell, like carnival smells, like frying beef and fried dough and everything. Do you have fried dough here?
It's yeah. Awesome.
Kids laughing. You're at the top of this huge big hill. There's a band out there playing, and there's like a main pole, and kids like with the hoops, like with a stick, you know what I'm saying? And the dogs running around barking and everything. It's a total opposite. It's just this, like, you know, joyous scene that you guys see from here, from the top. Well, there's a huge big mass of people in the middle, all dancing and laughing and whatnot and such.
Okay, I'll just grab some of his armor, Sam. I'm looking for you.
They literally just dance you down there to the bottom while, like, dogs run past and kids run through and such. Somebody puts, like, a thing with flowers and a little veil on you and such. Finally, when you get down there to the middle, she's, like, very happy, like, points. And there in the middle of all of this, there is Lady Lumina. Once again, like she was before, with, like, a black veil over her, having no part in anything that's going on around her. And standing by her is this... Do you know what a plague doctor is? All in black. Like hawk face up, speaking into her ear as you guys get close. And then as he sees you get there, he urgently speaks to her and he's like, talks and kind of like gets away a little bit and sort of like keeps an eye on what's going on. But the rest of the festival keeps going on. The band continues to play and people keep dancing and...
Kneel in front of her. My lady, we're here at your service.
The doctor comes over like, do not listen. Don't lies. Be very, very careful because all they have to sell you are falsities. They sell sweet remembrances that mean nothing. Trust me, here you are worshipped, here you are respected. You, go away, return to
my lady, side. My lady, the devil whispers in your ears. You know us, you know your husband trusted us with his very life.
I worship you. I am your pain and despair, and you cannot leave me in this place. Do not leave me for these people.
I will slay the devil.
Okay, go ahead.
Anything to add?
No, just like to say it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, and I hope to see you, maybe get to roll dice with you next year.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Any chance you will join us in Dragonmeet, maybe?
Oh, if you're going to be at Dragonmeet, I will, yes. I'm trying to plot and plan what I'm going to run. It will almost certainly be DCC. I'm looking at probably running something for DCC or MCC, Mutant Claw Classics, from a company called Thick Skull, some of Stephen Newton stuff, which is absolutely terrific. But I know you're fairly new to DCC, so maybe we can get you in on one of those games. We'll see what we do.
It would be nice, because not only I will be at Dragonmeet, but for the third year, I will be with fellow other podcasters running what we call the podcast zone.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
So, and there are games there being run and recorded. You can meet podcasters. You can tell about the hobby to them, and they're going to interview you. And then
superb.
It's there. And if you like a show.
Let's talk about that in the time in between and maybe sit down and play and maybe even record some of the gaming. That would be
great. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
And enjoy your game.
Thank you very much. I'll see you soon.
Roll me initiative, because this is actually this is a thing. You're gonna be at a 14. This guy's rock and roll initiative.
Yep, got it.
Are you gonna close chat?
Four, it's 15.
Four.
Four.
20 for Sweeney.
15 for Grimshoulder.
15 for Oedipo.
Two for Woody.
Okay, it is Sweeney and then Grimshoulder.
He's making some attackers, is he?
Well, he, you know what, he starts mumbling off some stuff and like moving his hands around and...
Magical mumbo jumbo. It's off with his head, I think.
But you know what, though? Where before it was all bullcrap, this one seemed like, no, like, you think this is some kind of evil something or other. Like, this one knows what it's doing.
Off with his head. 17.
17, that's going to hit. Give some damage.
16.
16 total.
Yeah.
It's still alive. It's pretty tough. You know what I'm saying? But that's a big hit. Grimshoulder, you see it, like, it bleeds, though. It's definitely bleeding.
Two-handed. I'm going to smash it with my battle axe.
All right.
So that's 22.
Yeah, man.
Okay, there you go.
14.
14. It is still up. Wow. Oedipo gets pretty involved.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to...
Disguised.
Well, I'm going to merge into the vicinity of the happy people. Yeah. I'm going to smile and disappear into the crowd with a short sword coming out ready for...
Backstab
gotcha. Next time round.
It's like dancing. Suddenly you're part of the, you know, the brawl. No. It's hiding shadows. It's not hiding shadows, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. 3 and 8 is 11. I'll chuck some luck onto that.
All right.
11 and
yeah. Alright, that point, yeah, like you're welcome into the brawl. It goes. Yes, Mumbo Jumbo's coming at the two of you guys, and one more, not you. You, definitely. Give me that willpower save. I need a 14 willpower save.
No.
Okay.
So here is what happens. All y'all feel is like sudden pain, and this like limb erupts from your side. It looks like his arm and that black thing is like the thing. And like it starts to like, you know, bang on you guys and like mess with you and such. Huh. This first round, it is going to do 32 1-points damage to you guys around the throat as this thing comes out. But more, it's distracting more than anything else. Mm. So you guys have to roll one die less while it gets in your grill. Oh! Now it's your turn, Minar.
All right. No attack, Jess.
Mace.
Mace? Okay, go ahead.
Okay, fancy.
13 is close, but it's not hit. Literally, that extra limb comes up and grabs your arm and is like shaking it and trying to like mess with your aim. And it's the Woodstar.
I'm gonna go and give it two blows. Okay, first, the dagger. Trying to stab his feet. 15, 19.
That hits.
6 damage.
All right.
Whoa. And then I swirl to give it a short sword. Hit, so that will be 14.
That's going to miss. 14's going to miss.
Well, I'm going to spend a bit of luck.
How many points?
2, that would make 18.
Yeah, that hit.
It's going to be a 6 again.
Well done. Yeah. He gets in there and like stabs a mess at it with the two things and actually kills it. You know?
I got 1 with 2 blows.
It falls down and then those extra limbs of the 3 of you guys have grown, like they shrink back. Oh. Just for a moment, the mast falls off it. Just for a second, it's Lumina yourself. Before it completely disappears and the blackest spot on the ground. And she looks up and she's like, what have I done? I have made a terrible, terrible error. I don't know if I can ever forgive myself for what I did. I just thought, I was so scared. I didn't know what I would do without him. And I made a mistake.
We're here to put it right.
Do whatever
help
you can.
You put it right.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all, she says. And she sort of follows you. And as you guys go, like everybody here stop dancing and playing, and the dog, and they all sort of start following Lumina like a big game of like follow the leader. And they sort of like so wedge behind her as you guys like walk up the hill. You know, you sort of like, you know, follow along, make your way up there to the edge and such. And like as soon as you get to the edge, literally the two things, the two, you know, spheres meld together, and suddenly the other one is completely filled with light. The whole Monster Manual is like waiting for you guys. And suddenly they're like, ah! And they just run in all directions. But one stops and turns around, and it's actually the Emperor of the Moon. And he walks over and is like, hi, I'm the Emperor of the Moon. I'm a terrible fighter, and I think I'm great. And I apologize for ever having existed. Excuse me. And then runs off up into the hills and touch. Moments later, she walks to the front of the pyramid. Out comes Arcadio, steps out, grabs her and folds her, and it's like, this is well done. You have... giving me a thing that I can never repay. I can never repay this debt to you. And yet I must ask for one more thing. Return to the world. Find my killer. Destroy him.
Do you know who it was?
It's like, that's it. What am I, a halfling?
Screw you.
The door shuts. Like, you guys see where it was? Like above those, another spiel that opens up. and you're looking into some kind of a building. Like a building, or you're looking into a room right. on the other side of this portal.
Oh, okay.
Head straight
back into our world.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So you guys like step through, you guys actually find yourselves back in the fortune teller's room. But you see him like they're like throwing shit in a bag and he looks up, full demon face and such.
I knew it! I knew it! I told you!
He's like,
shh, it's okay.
And he sees like, you know what? You owe me your life. I saved you. He wanted to take you to the moon. You can't breathe in the moon, that great moron. You would have died up there. If I hadn't done what I did, you all would be dead. You owe me your lives.
You ruined my life.
Exactly. Time to take him out. I think we're not going to listen to this
no.
rubbish anymore.
Exactly. He takes out a dagger and he starts cutting into his arm.
Oh, no, no.
Right. We're saying some words. No, right. All right, last initiative. Do it up. You got to beat my 12 to 19. Beat the dealer.
14.
16. Well,
there's a win.
13.
14.
Ooh, 18 for Oedipo.
5 for Sweeney.
19.
He's back in the game!
Yeah, man, it's grim.
He's casting strength on himself.
Oh, so he's a dwarf again. Is that what this one?
Yeah, yeah.
He's his whole character.
I'm gonna spell right. burn 4 points.
4 points of agility.
22.
22, that's fantastic. Alright, so you got 20 strength for a 1d6 turn.
How much?
That's 10 rounds. It's Oedipo and then Grim's cool. shield.
Right.
Shoulder, sorry. It's too much grim in this game.
Do you know what? Yeah. I'm picking up I'm pulling out the spell book that I stole from this room.
Oh.
I'm flicking it straight to the colour spray page that you told me was colour spray, and I'm casting it as a thief.
You know what? I've actually never seen a thief do this before in this game.
Do you know what? I'm going to burn it a load of luck as well whilst I'm doing
it. All right, make your roll for it and see how it goes, man.
Right, so, yeah. So,
that's hilarious.
Yeah, so it's D14 I get on a spell check, and... 11, and I'm going to burn 4 luck.
Okay, cool.
Which get D6 on each. So it's
that's so cool.
11 and 9 is 26. Oh,
yes!
No, I'm
fantastic!
Oh, man. Wow. Okay.
God.
What little spells?
It's a taste of his own medicine, isn't it?
Great.
What level is colour spray? Level 2.
That's literally what he's getting ready to cast, you guys. 25?
26.
26. You know, like a blast of colored chaos, like, knocks him off his feet. He, like, flung down, and he's unconscious. And, and the spell disappears from that book.
Yeah. Sorry.
Woody's gonna run screaming towards him.
You're gonna pay for spreading those rumors about halfling and luck, you scumbag!
And I stab him, like...
Yeah, you guys, like, you stab him.
Oh, hard time.
You know, and, but you guys, like, and, you know that your patron being satisfied, the justice being done, dude, that's the end of the story, so great job, guys. You guys, seriously, that was brilliant. Yeah. You guys really were very smart about that. Really, really well done.
Thank you, guys. Can we have an epilogue of if people could spread the information that this guy was a crook?
You start the rumor. Give me an E20 check. High low, man.
I'd like people to stop touching Woolly wherever it goes in that place.
Gotcha.
Aww.
They're like, really? Really? Really?
Didn't work.
No!
This episode included Heroic Team by Spencer Owen, Invocation Sempiterra by Human Phobia and James Onsen, Homeland Ashes by Kai Engel, Dream Figures by Diane Key, The Dream of Sergei Prokofiev and Waltz by Ergo Fizmiz, Farewell the Innocent by Ars Sonor, Irish Fairy Remember the Oscar Wilde by the _ Orchestra, and of course Solta of Rango, or theme song by Bandedoro. All these songs are available on the Free Music Archive, which was recently saved from closure. So if you haven't checked the Free Music Archive yet, I cannot recommend enough you go ahead there and find the many artists you can find there and download for free. The logo of the Rollist Podcast is designed by Rollin Kunz, and the Rollist Podcast is a proud member of the RPG Academy Network. And myself was part of a recent interview on the RPG Academy with Federico Sanz, the author of Nibiru. So
if what you may have already heard about this game on the Rust podcast interests you, well, first of all, their Kickstarter campaign is ongoing and it's funded already. So please do join us pledging on that super cool project. And maybe you can unlock some more nice goodies like some fancy cuneiform metal polyhedral dice. Thanks to Brendan and myself for running this game. And I think if you enjoyed Brendan's judging, you will have again an opportunity to play with him at the UK Games Expo. Keep an eye for the announcements of the tables. They should be among the just the regular tabletop RPG tables you can book, but I think they're probably gonna fly off the shelf, so you shouldn't wait too long. The next Le Drinks and Dice will be on February the 2nd. We're moving to the first Monday of the month. And the next Le Drinks and Dice will be a bit special because it's kind of a consultation. We would like to have as many people as possible to find out how to make this event more popular. Should we make it less frequent? Should the location be different? Should it be a different day of the week? We should have representatives from clubs from across London joining this time. So, yeah, there's already quite a few people booked in for February 2nd. Go check it out and consider joining us. In the show notes, you will also find a link to the enworld.org forum where Morris is holding a vote for the favorite RPG podcast of 2018. And the Rollis podcast is nominated. So if you do enjoy our show, please go check the description of this episode and click on this link and head there to vote for the Rollis podcast. That would really be a big push for the Rollis podcast to be noticed by more listeners. And I think that's it. I mean, the usual iTunes Patreon, please go check it out. It was great meeting a few of you at Dragon Meet at All Podcast Zone. And it's time for some seasonal wishes for you all, dear Rollist listening to this. Joyeux Noël et bonne année et joyeuse Anouka. And all the seasonal wishes you could think of. Sorry for those I did not specify. I hope it will be for you a great season of joy. A great new year is awaiting for you and us all. We could definitely do with one. And yeah, great food, great friends, great games is all I wish to you all. Cheers, bye. Alegria da moçada da perua favelada. Nosso som é fantasia pra mamãe, vovó, titia. Rolê, rolê, rolê. Solta o frango e vem com a gente. Rolê, rolê, rolê. Solta o frango e vem com a gente. Nós é tipo bem Jesus, todo mundo a gente ama. Ainda mais se for gatinha, rola até levar pra cama. A gente topa tudo, sapatão e bigoduto. Na hora do piriri, cai em mim outra travesti.
Vai, batuque!
Rolê, rolê, rolê. Solta o frango e vem com a gente. Rolê, rolê, rolê. Solta o frango e vem com a gente. E se deixou